certainly glad that you're here tonight. Those that are visiting with us, we appreciate you coming. We invite you to follow along with us in the Bible or in the charts behind us that we'll use tonight. Well, thank you for your kind remarks this morning concerning the lesson. You never know what type of lesson clicks on people, and the lesson this morning really clicked on people. So a lot of good comments concerning that, and appreciate that. I don't watch Monday Night Football anymore. I like college sports most of the time. I think that people in professional sports, for the most part, are very lazy. They are extremely overpaid. They don't try very hard. And I just appreciate the effort that most of the time that college and high school and other people put forth. There was a time, though, that I did like to watch Monday Night Football. On Monday Night Football, there would be three people. There would be a fellow named Howard Cosell. And he gained popularity back in the early 60s, really, with Muhammad Ali, before he became Muhammad Ali, when he was Cassius Clay. He interviewed him, and Howard Cosell gained a lot of popularity because of Muhammad Ali. There's a second fella named Frank Gifford. He was a very popular football player back in the late 50s, early 60s. He married later on Kathy Lee, Regis and Kathy Lee. Well, he married Kathy Lee years later, but when I enjoyed him was when he was on Monday Night Football. The third fellow on Monday Night Football was a man named Don Meredith. He was a quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys when the Dallas Cowboys were having their problems. Roger Staubach hadn't come yet to the team, and Don Meredith, he was the quarterback for a number of years. And one of the things that I would enjoy on Monday Night Football, when finally it was to the point where the other team was hopeless, they were losing terribly, and then when they got to that point, Dandy Don, as they would call him, he would start singing, "Turn out the lights, the party's over. They say that all good things must end. Call it tonight, the party's over." And then you knew that the football game was just practically over. One of these days, God is going to hold us accountable for the choices that we have made in this life. And one day, he's going to turn out the lights. We see over in Genesis and in chapter 4, Genesis chapter 4, in the beginning, in verse 1, concerning these two children, these are the first recorded children in the Bible, their names are Cain and Abel. It says in verse 1, "Now a man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man child with the help of the Lord. Again, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Abel was the keeper of the flocks, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. And it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought the firstlings of the flock, their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell." In verse 6 it says, "And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen?" And then on the chart that I have behind me here, it says in verse 7, it says, "If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door." There's going to be something that's going to occur. Over in Galatians, and in chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, in verse 1 beginning, it says, "Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another. For each one must bear his own load. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him." Then he says in verse 7, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For what a man sows, that will he also reap." Most people in this life, I suppose, are looking for one big party. You look at a football game. I watched a little bit of the UK game yesterday before I had to leave to go somewhere. Watched a little of the U of L game last night. And I tell you, both of the stadiums were packed. And you might ask the question, well, what are stadiums packed for? And stadiums are packed, they're packed today. You look on the professional teams, if you watch them, you'll see stadiums that are packed there. And most of the time, what they have come for, not only to watch a football game, but to enjoy a party. This has become very important over the past few years about the fact of tailgating, getting out and partying before a game, because most people enjoy a party, one big party. Now, wouldn't it be great if stadiums were filled like that to hear the gospel of Christ? But we see that that's not the case most of the time. Oh, you might be able to fill a church building with maybe 150 or 200 seats. But most of the churches today are just unable to even fill that. But you think about what people are wanting to do with their lives. In Jeremiah in chapter 51 and in verse 33, Jeremiah chapter 51 and in verse 33, concerning Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, it says in Jeremiah 51 and in verse 33, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. At the time it is stamped firm. Yet in a little while, the time of harvest will come for her." God's going to turn out the lights. And the party's going to be over. We see as well in Ecclesiastes, in chapter 11, verse 9, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you all the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these God will bring you into judgment." Over in Matthew and in chapter 24, Matthew chapter 24 and in verse 36 through verse 39, Matthew 24, verses 36 through verse 39. He says, but in 36 he says, "But of that day and hour no one knows." Well, they knew when the abomination of desolation was going to be. They knew when the destruction of Jerusalem was going to occur, when certain things were going to take place. But he says, "Of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not understand. They did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. They were able, they were finally able to see the light as they were being carried away by the water. Well, tonight, for the next few moments, I want to talk about this and just look at some examples that we've probably talked about over the last couple of weeks even. One of these is Genesis chapter 6 and verses 5 through 7. Genesis 6 verses 5 through 7. This is the story. This is the story of Noah. In Genesis 6 and in verse 1 beginning, it says, "And it came about when men began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose. Then the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days will be 120 years. The Nephilim on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men and bore children to them, and they were mighty men who were of old, men of renown." Then picking up the reading on the chart here, it said, "And then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart." Don't think he changed his mind concerning that. Verse 7, "So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them." We know the story. We know the story. Noah is 480 years old. I don't even know that he really has Shem, Ham, and Japheth yet. Probably he has Shem, Ham, and Japheth through his wife at about 500 years old. But for the next 120 years, he starts to build that ark. And these people, as Noah, as it talks about, is preaching righteousness to them, they're just having a big time with him. Having a big time with Noah. Probably going to see the ark, probably jesting concerning Noah, concerning the ark, whatever the case might be. But what happened? What happened was that one day God turned out the lights and the party was over for those people. In Genesis chapter 19, we talked about Lot's choices last Sunday night. And about how Lot, as he chose money, as he didn't take the responsibility for his family, as he chose to blend in with the rest of the world, we covered that already. We go back to Genesis chapter 19, and in verse 4 it says, "Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally." There's a lot going on in our society today concerning this as well. The gay pride parades, things along those lines, the support that so many people are putting toward homosexuality today. But what happened back at this time? Remember Abraham? Abraham was told that Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be destroyed. 50 people it started out with, chapter 18, very end of chapter 18. He works his way down to 10 people. And then finally, God had enough. God had enough. And the party for Sodom and Gomorrah was over. He turned out the lights. Well, maybe we can see in this story that we covered about 2 weeks ago in Daniel and in chapter 5. In Daniel chapter 5 again, in verse 1, here's the king, Belshazzar. He is probably the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. Belshazzar the king made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of 1,000. And while he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which Father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives, and even his concubines are there. They're just having a big party with this about the business of making fun of Jehovah. Making fun of Jehovah God. In verse 3 it says, they brought the gold vessels that they had taken from the temple of the house of God, which had been taken in Jerusalem. And the king and his lords, his wives, his concubines, they drank from them. They drank the wine, verse 4, and they praised the God. They praised the gods of Babylon. Oh, you think your God in Israel was so strong? You think your God in Judah was so strong? Let me show you the true meaning of a strong God. They praised, they thanked the gods of gold and silver and bronze and iron and wood and stone. And then, Daniel chapter 5. After the king was told through the handwriting on the wall that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, that you're weighed in the balances and you're found wanting. It says in verse 29, and Belshazzar gave orders, and they clothed Daniel with purple and a necklace of gold around his neck, and issued a proclamation concerning him that he now had authority as third ruler in the kingdom. Well, third ruler of nothing here in just a minute is not going to mean too much to Daniel. So it says that Belshazzar, the Chaldean, the king was slain that very night. So Darius the Mede received the kingdom at the age of 62. What happened? What happened was that God ended the Babylonians' party. God turned out the lights. Party was over. We see in the New Testament, in Revelation chapter 18. In Revelation chapter 18. And in verse 1 beginning, it says, now these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. He cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. This meaning Rome. Babylon the Great is fallen and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. You know, years ago, sometime in the early 60s, there was a book that came out It was called Hollywood Babylon. Hollywood Babylon. Sometimes they would change it to Babylon Revisited. And that book, for a number of years, couldn't even be sold in America. They wouldn't allow it to be sold in America because of all the immorality that was in the book, homosexuality that was in the book, other vile things that God deals with in the Old and New Testament. And there was a time in America to where they said, enough, we're not going to have this in our bookstores, we're not going to sell this garbage. But in 1965, it changed. They brought it into the bookstores, and people bought it right and left. Because they wanted to be entertained with immorality. Well, here with Rome, they were basically doing the same things. In fact, you go over to Gibbon's Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire. He states basically four reasons that Rome fell. One of the reasons was the undermining of the home. People weren't serious about a marriage relationship anymore. Higher taxes, Gibbon said, that was for bread and for celebration. The third reason he said regarding this was a craze for pleasure. People just had to seek pleasure all the time. And then finally, he said, the decay of religion. Faith fading into mere form. That's all it became. Psalm 33, verse 12. Psalm 33, verse 12 said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. In Proverbs chapter 14 and in verse 34, it says, righteousness exalts a nation. Well, if righteousness exalts a nation, what does unrighteousness do to a nation? But sin is a reproach to any people. We've looked tonight rather quickly at several examples of God saying the party's over. With Noah, with Sodom and Gomorrah, with Belshazzar and the Babylonians, with the Romans. How long is he going to wait until he says the party is over on us? If people choose to go on the same course that they go on. But we understand that one day all of this is going to be over. Anyway, that one day he's going to shut out the lights on us all. He says in 2 Peter and in chapter 3 and in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. And then if we're living, this part that many people hold so dear is going to be over for us. But the interesting thing is that we continue on. We continue on as a soul either spending an eternity in heaven or spending an eternity in hell. And as I've stated many times before, that, ladies and gentlemen, is the only thing that you and I can control. You might be in this audience tonight, not a Christian, understanding the condition that you're in, needing a Savior to be baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ. For those who need to come back to their first love, we invite you to come now while together we stand and sing.